B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, April 30th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the news desk with Sarah Skopic, plus the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer dropped, and I'm not sure any of us will ever sleep again. He's got real teeth, human teeth. It's the worst thing ever. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Well, as it turns out, Persona 5S is not a Switch release of the game.
No.
Nor is it a female main playable character. Sorry. No, it turns out S stands for Scramble, and the game will be a Dynasty Warrior style title in the Persona 5 universe.
All right, it'll be released on Switch
and PS4. But
I'm okay with this.
Who wanted this?
No one!
I'm okay with this. I didn't know I wanted it, but I want it now. I want this. I want it.
I'm still better. I'm still better about that female
you should
character.
Be. You should be. You have every reason to be bitter. I'm also, because I want to play it on the Switch. I don't want to have to play it on my console. I really just don't want to play my console anymore.
Come on. Dynasty Warriors, I'm with it.
Nintendo's annual earnings report is in, and it has been a good year for them. They brought in about $10.7 billion in revenue, with around $2.2 billion as profit, which is up from $1.6 billion last year. Nintendo's digital sales were also up 95% this year, accounting for about $1.06 billion.
Well, could that have anything to do with the fact that they actually made a digital marketplace that functions?
It is so weird, like, booting up my Switch and being willing to go into the store and maybe actually purchase something.
I look a couple times a week.
Yeah, exactly, because, like, it's not, it doesn't make your eyes bleed when you go in there.
Right.
I don't have to put in my credit card one number at a time with the Wii Motion controller.
or, with the 3DS, there was a really large swath of software that never made it to their digital store.
Yeah.
And you had to go and seek out the cards for that thing. It was incredibly frustrating. And I think that Nintendo has really gotten their head around the way that digital distribution. Yes, they un-Nintendo'd it.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is continuing to be a workhorse for the Nintendo Switch. It has now moved over 14 million units, which is especially impressive considering that the Switch has sold about 33 million units. Oh. That means that roughly 42% of people who own a Switch own Smash Ultimate.
That is pretty amazing. Yeah, I mean, almost a 50% saturation rate for your software on a console is nuts.
Yeah, I started like having that number kind of rattle around in my head. Like, is that number actually high or not? So I decided to look at the PlayStation 2 and take a look. Their best-selling game all time, San Andreas, roughly 17.3 million units. That's only like, that's under 11% saturation
rate.
Yep.
If you wanted some thought for how well Smash Brothers Ultimate is doing. The one I really wanted to check was GTA 5 on the PlayStation 4, but I cannot find any reliable numbers on that.
Sony has once again confirmed the PS5, this time via an earnings call. We weren't able to glean much about the system, except that the reason we started getting details was that the PS5 dev kits has started to go out to third-party developers.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. It would all become clear.
It would have leaked.
It would have begun to leak, exactly. We'd rather it come from us.
Yeah. Interestingly, the call noted that the PS4 moved a little under 18 million units last year, bringing its lifetime total to 96.8 million. Another year like that, and it'll surpass the Wii, which sits at a little shy of 102 million.
So we could possibly see this be one of the best selling. Would that make it the
The third best selling console ever.
Is that counting handhelds?
No, that's excluding handhelds. But then that would mean that Sony secures the top three best selling consoles of all time
and would have four of the top five:
the PS2, the PlayStation Original, and the PS4.
What do they need E3 for?
Maybe they're not wrong.
You know, maybe they're not.
Despite ongoing rumors that Nintendo is set to release new versions of the Switch, they've said that they have no intention to unveil new hardware at E3 this year. Recent reports had them unveiling a new, cheaper version of the Switch for release by the end of June. This could still be the case, but it won't be revealed at E3, according to Nintendo.
This is really confusing because we keep hearing media sources saying there is a new console, there is a new version of the Switch. In fact, we've heard two new versions of the Switch, one that's aimed at, you know, more budget consumers,
right,
and one that's aimed at more pro consumers.
And typically, when you get reports from this many different sources about that, on some level where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right. Well, in this story, it says that they don't plan on unveiling anything like that at E3. Do you think they might hold off and just do their own Nintendo Direct?
You know, that is, I think, a distinct possibility, because we've seen how much their Nintendo Directs are effective for them. Maybe you just don't need E3 to announce hardware anymore.
Maybe there's just some tricky wordplay in there. We have no intention to unveil it at E3.
Maybe.
It will be out in June. Who knows?
World War Z is doing surprisingly well in its first week on the market. The game, based loosely off the 2013 movie of the same name, has already moved over 1 million units. In particular, the developer Saber Interactive is very pleased with the game's performance on PC. The Epic Store exclusive has already moved over 250,000 units in the first week.
I'm very confused by this. Why is it that a tie-in game for a movie that came out 6 years ago is just coming out and now doing well?
And apparently better than the AAA Days Gone, which is essentially the same thing.
I've heard nothing about Days Gone.
I haven't either, but it came out.
Which is even worse, because even if it was really bad, you wouldn't want to hear
about
it.
People aren't even complaining about it.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. Especially as dead as the news cycle is right now, like, you should be hearing something.
Yeah.
Epic Games has given an ultimatum to Steam, who continues to gnash teeth about Epic's practice of securing exclusives for their store. CEO Tim Sweeney has put his cards on the table, saying if Valve matches the revenue split that Epic offers without attaching major strings, then they'll stop signing exclusivity deals.
I don't think it was just his cards. I think there was something else that he placed on the table.
He definitely put something on the table, and that table was creaking.
Yeah, I've got to say that this is a bold move from Epic right here. The exclusive definitely got everyone's attention, but I think the even bigger footnote in this statement is the idea that Epic would bring its own products to the Steam store if Steam was giving a more equitable cut to the devs.
It's a masterclass at this point, too, because if Steam says anything, they'll be beholden to it. If they say no, they're the bad guy. If they say yes, it is a massive concession.
And by the way, the only right move is to agree to it.
And by the way, what we've heard out of Steam is nothing.
So far, we've heard
nothing. That's the only option they have.
But that's the thing. It's like, they can't say no because they'll be demonized. Even if they say yes, Epic gets the credit for the win. And if they say nothing, they're not allowed to complain anymore about the exclusivity thing. Epic wins.
Well, and their users, I think, don't get to complain about it anymore. Because their complaints in the first place were thin to begin with. You know, it's not like you have to buy another piece of hardware to be able to put a launcher on your computer. Right. So
that's the brilliance. As Epic has said, here's the cost. And by the way, those costs are all very consumer friendly.
Yeah.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. When net neutrality was officially killed off last year, we knew it could only be a matter of time before we reported on a story like this. Cox Communication is a officially testing a new product in Arizona called Cox Elite Gamer. If you think that Comcast is not nipping at the heels of this, you are wrong. Because I don't know if you've seen the Blake Griffin ads that they have out there with him munching cereal into the mic that says "Game like a pro." By the way, I don't know why you have pro basketball players to be the face of that ad.
I don't know what the whole gamer and cereal thing is. I don't know.
Thank you. I don't know what that is either. I think they just needed the most most obnoxious noise that they could come up with.
Got it.
But yeah, I just I'm supremely annoyed,
right,
by this, and especially this is exactly what we had said, that if you clear net neutrality out of the way would end up happening. And you know, I hear already people going, oh, but it's just a pilot program. Yeah, well, get ready for it, because it's going to be rolled out through for the rest of the customers, I guarantee you.
So to talk about it a little bit, so it's a $14.99 a month thing, and it's basically just their branded version of WT Fast. It's almost the exact same program as WT Fast. And so technically, and I hate to, like, defensible in a court of law, technically, they probably could have introduced this even when net neutrality wasn't in effect, because they're basically just launching their own version of WT Fast.
Which is a VPN.
Exactly. Yes. But they have been clearly emboldened by the absence of net neutrality.
The legal and corporate climate is completely changed now in the post-net neutrality era. And while this is not Cox building more infrastructure that you then pay for faster internet or prioritized internet, this is still an introduction to tiered service that allows, at least on the surface, preferential treatment to certain people's data.
Right. It looks like a duck and it sounds like a duck. It's just not called a duck.
No, this is specifically, this is charging your customers for a premium.
Yeah. Effectively, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's what it really comes down to is this is very much the concept that we have been afraid of. Even if, yes, legally they probably could have gotten away with doing this at any point, I feel like the structure, the corporate structure, the government oversight structure in America has changed so much that cable companies are beginning to feel emboldened to try to make that push.
I feel like this has been a decision that was made internally at Cox to kind of kneecap some of their services, and now you have a VPN to get around some of those kneecap abilities that might impact your ability to play games. And I think that that is a worst case scenario when it comes to those that really advocated for net neutrality. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that this is concerning? Would you buy into something like this? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll break down the disturbing Sonic the Hedgehog trailer and see if it's as bad as we thought it would be. Spoilers, yes, it is. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Why have these Fortnite champions decided to quit playing Fortnite for good?
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, just how bad is the Sonic trailer? It's really...
It's terrible.
Really terrifying. We'll break it down ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
With Sarah Skopic.
It was quite a weekend for Ibrahim Diaz and Jack Studdard of the University of Georgia. They won $6,000 competing in the CSL Fortnite Grand Finals. After winning the collegiate tournament, the duo were interviewed and asked what they'd be doing next. They didn't waste any words in saying they'd be quitting Fortnite and looking for a new game to compete in, as they don't really like the game anymore.
Okay.
Huh. That's
That's hilarious.
That is really hysterical. But I think, you know, listen, when you really lean into the younger demographic that is interested in your product, in your game like that, then you can't be surprised when there is a certain section of the population that outgrows it in time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's something that's really important when we talk about the popularity of a game and the ongoing popularity of a game, where, you know, we saw Apex come out and then, you know, within 3 months tank. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, all of these people who are like, oh, it's the next big thing. You know, Fortnite had a good run, but now I think we are actually looking for the next big thing.
Full Sail University is set to open their new $6 million esports arena in May. Called The Fortress, the arena is billed as the largest esports facility on a college campus and can seat 500 attendees in addition to 100
players. No, Sarah, you said it wrong. It's The Fortress!
Give me a heart attack.
I should have put some echo on that.
Yes.
I love this. This is great. I think, you know, when we see a lot of collegiate programs and facilities, there isn't a whole lot of room for spectators, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big hurdles that a lot of these new programs are going to have to figure out, because it's one thing to give a program space to be able to operate in and create a training facility. It's another thing to give them a exhibition space, and I
give them a field, essentially.
Yeah, and I think that this is going to be incredibly helpful to show other colleges how well it can help a program, how much it can help a program, because now you're going to be able to ticket for that. So that's phenomenal.
And I love the size of the arena too. I think 500 seats is just right. I mean,
yes,
we're talking similar size to the Burbank Arena, yep, or something, mm-hmm, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect size for a college campus.
Couldn't agree more.
Golden State has hired one of their NBA scouts, Tommy Abdenor, to be the coach of Warriors Gaming. NBA 2K has become realistic enough that Golden State now believes that applying traditional NBA theory will translate to success on the virtual court. The move has opened up an interesting conversation, asking what traditional and esports can learn from one another.
So one of the things that I think you really need to remember is that NBA 2K League has a different player at each one of the positions. It's not like Madden, where that's two players one-on-one going head-to-head.
Yeah, controls
these
the whole team.
Exactly. These are two teams that are going up against one another, and I think that it's really smart for the Golden State organization to look towards some traditional tactics and on-court ability to be able to translate to the digital space.
No, totally. And, you know, it's like the same thing with FIFA. The more I actually played actual soccer and then went back and played FIFA, the more I understood about positioning, the better I got at FIFA. So yeah, it's the same thing. The game theory in your mind is not all that different when it comes to a digital version of a traditional sport.
Well, I think another interesting part of this too is asking what can traditional teams eventually learn from esports teams as well. And I think one of the things that sparks to mind that there is communication
or strategy.
Strategy, and I mean both of those, right? Yeah. Esports teams have to have such high level communication with each other. I could see that being a big thing that traditional teams could take away.
Absolutely.
Overwatch League has signed a major legacy brand for the duration of the second season. They've notched Bud Light as a broadcast sponsor on ABC and ESPN, as well as activations at four events. The first of the four events was the Bud Light Homestand Weekend in Dallas.
Listen to me. Anheuser-Busch, who owns Bud Light, is the title sponsor for the NF freaking L.
Yeah.
Okay? That is about as big of a sponsorship win as there is to get. Okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Overwatch League, that's about as high on the totem pole as you can possibly go as far as sponsors.
Can you think of any other brands?
Amazon.
Amazon, Google.
Okay. That's about
Apple,
it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Blizzard revealed last week that, unsurprisingly, the Overwatch World Cup will be returning in 2019.
Alrighty.
Unlike previous years, the entirety of the World Cup will take place at BlizzCon this year, set across three stages. Also new this year will be a single elimination tournament open to any recognized national team. The winner of that tournament will be guaranteed one of the open qualifier slots.
I love this idea.
Great idea.
Actually, I love this idea. I mean, you know, we always talk about, and we're always thinking about, you know, how do we get the, you know, the quote unquote average person, you know, not necessarily a pro, involved in esports. And this is such a great way, holding an open tournament. Love this.
Right, yep, I won't lie. With previous years, there is some burnout that happens watching like qualifiers and whatnot for the World Cup leading up to BlizzCon. I think putting it all into BlizzCon and what it's essentially just going to be, you know, like half a week of watching these games is the perfect amount. It's going to whet everyone's appetite for those who have been like hungering for it since the offseason started.
Yeah.
News broke late last week that Rick Fox would be leaving his team Echo Fox following racial abuse from an investor towards him and others in the organization. Riot has since issued a statement saying they are investigating and will take all actions allowable within the terms of Echo Fox's LCS agreement. In addition, Echo Fox has confirmed the events and have demanded the person in question divest from the organization.
What a terrible situation. Like, it's got to be really bad if, you know, the situation is making you want to step away from the company you helped found.
Yeah, well, yeah, even to fight it. He just straight up was like, I'm just leaving.
Yeah, and allegedly the person in question was found using, you know, the N-word in emails and in person when speaking about someone else who was leaving
Jace Hall.
Company.
Yeah,
Jace
the CEO, Hall, the former CEO Jace Hall,
who was leaving the company. And it again proves that for as far as we think we've come, we really haven't come that far at all.
Well said.
Some major controversy brewed in the LMS region of League of Legends as the team Dragon Gate has been removed from the league. Their coach, manager, owner, and jungler have all been caught in a match-fixing scandal that saw the team purposely throwing games. Everyone involved has been punished according to the severity, but the owner of the team is threatening a lawsuit.
This is so ridiculous. The supposed countersuit that Dragon Gate is working on.
Oh,
by the way, what do we call this scandal? Is it Dragon Gate Gate?
I was thinking about the same thing. Dragon I Gate was like, Gate? I can't call it Dragon Gate. Dragon Gate X.
It's Dragon Gate Gate.
Dragon Gate Square.
Yeah, there we go. Dragon Gate Square.
I like that.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. While Riot has been mostly effective in managing the situations with Echo Fox and Dragon's Gate, they're continuing to struggle with the scandal in their own backyard.
Yeah, so just for anyone who somehow doesn't know, last year Kotaku broke a story about the ongoing toxic and bro culture at Riot Games. Riot, of course, recognized it, promised to do better, promise to be transparent. We have seen very little, if anything, to that.
There's been some surface level.
They brought in some new people.
They brought in the law firm that's represented the Pinkerton group before.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on now.
The CEO who was going around like ball tapping people and farting and humping on people at work still has a job.
Yeah. He was just let go sent home with pay.
Vacation without pay.
Without pay.
Yeah. Oh no.
So now they're facing talks of an employee walkout amid ongoing frustrations with their staff. Angela Roseborough, who's the chief diversity officer for Riot, let staff know that small group sessions would be held to address concerns. This has further frustrated the staff, who see it as an upper management continuing to try to obfuscate what's going on and be opaque about it effectively.
I mean, but I feel like the Angela Roseborough is in such a terrible position, because you're the chief diversity officer. Your job is supposed to be the person who's making this fixing this. But if you're not getting the resources that you need from on high, you're going to get all of the griping coming up from below.
Absolutely.
The middle management and the upper management is who's really stuck in the middle. But with all that said, nothing's been done.
Well, and this is what absolutely boggles the mind. For Riot, for as far as we've seen with their development of League of Legends, they do a pretty good job of it. Their esports scene is probably second to none, or at least on par with Overwatch League. They clearly can do things well when they put their mind to it.
Right.
Why is this the thing that they cannot do.
This
shouldn't be a problem.
I think that that's a valid question, and you have to wonder what is going on in the culture over at Riot.
Specifically at the top end of the culture.
Yeah, to not just kind of facilitate this, but it does seem like great lengths have been taken to kind of obfuscate the truth. And that
really flies in the face of saying we're going to be transparent.
Exactly. That, to me, says that you're not being transparent, that you're trying going to great lengths to be the opposite of transparent. You're being opaque.
Yeah. So what we should do is unionize.
And they kind of are. They're organizing a walkout.
It's starting to get there. It may not be the worst idea. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, we'll check out the trailer for the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie and see if it's as bad as we feared it is. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Ever since the first still images from the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie appeared, we've been horrified by what we saw.
Yeah.
The first trailer dropped earlier today, so let's see if our worst fears are confirmed.
So I'm going to go with yikes. That is terrifying.
Wow.
Sonic the Hedgehog specifically, I will say this. When he's actually in motion as opposed to a still image, it's less terrifying to me, but it's still pretty spooky.
No, for me, even when he's when he's moving quickly to the point where all I see is a blue blur or bald.
When you see the spin ball.
Okay, that's fine. The moment he stops and you see his face and he has to speak, I immediately fall into the uncanny valley, and the only thing that will pull me out is suicide or death.
Yikes. That's extreme.
That is dark.
Listen, it is terrifying. This is when you see Sonic in action, it's
horrific.
It is really not a fun thing.
Why does he have teeth?
I don't know. And why does
he have teeth?
Why do
hedgehogs have teeth?
I mean, hedgehogs do have some sort of teeth.
I just don't think they have human teeth.
I don't know. They definitely don't have teeth that look like they've had bridge work done.
To be fair, the Ninja Turtles from the 90s, turtles don't have teeth, but they definitely had human teeth as well.
But you know what?
They were also really terrifying.
Okay. They were also puppets, too.
On some level.
They were actually in front of the camera, and no. I'm more
okay.
willing to forgive
I would more accept it if Sonic was a child in a suit. That would be more acceptable to me.
Here's my thing, right? First of all, Gangster's Paradise, like that choice.
Okay.
Questionable.
Yeah, but, all right. Okay. Now we're talking. Now we got to get into the trailer.
Yes.
Do we?
Questionable. And then obviously, he looks.
Questionable.
At best. Questionable. Okay, at best.
No.
It's not questionable.
Hold on.
His actual look,
we've already.
We've seen that.
Months ago. Terrifying. Those things aside, I didn't hate the trailer.
See, Get out.
No, that's where I'm going to agree with you, Robbie.
Get out.
I didn't either.
Get out.
Hold on. If they had done a Space Jam. No, if they had done Space Jam and he was animated, I might actually be excited for this.
No, I spent the entire day singing Amish Paradise, and I'm not happy about that. That's first and foremost. I'm not thrilled about that. But
I hate all of this.
The other day when we were talking about this, I said quite jokingly, man, I really hope that Jim Carrey just plays Robotnik like Ace Ventura. Not realizing I was going to get my wish.
That's pretty much it.
Maybe the reason, Joe, is we had set our expectations so abysmally low.
I refuse to believe that our expectations were lower than Nate's on this.
I mean, maybe, for even a moment. Yeah, both you and I think, are willing to go in the first week
I'll definitely go see it.
I am absolutely in no way, shape, or form going to see this movie.
I definitely will.
But I will not even watch it on a plane.
But you will watch something like The Room and enjoy it for what it is. Terrible.
Yes.
Yeah, but that involves all humans, not some sort of anthropomorphic, you know, monstrosity that they tried to make shine.
Okay, you know what? He watched The Feebles.
Meet the Feebles, Meet the Feebles is a classic.
No, but Robbie, you brought up something instantly that I said, F this movie.
Okay.
Because when I heard Gangsta's Paradise as the trailer song decision.
Who is in charge of that decision? Who made that call?
No, it's not one person. Many people had to sit back and say, this, all right.
Someone had the idea, though. Someone was sitting there like, Gangster's Paradise. You know, that's the
it's
track.
It's not about that guy, because I am creatives throw a whole bunch of ridiculous ideas.
They throw
ideas.
It at the wall, right?
They throw it out on the wall and see what sticks. The problem is there is somebody who greenlit that, who got that idea on their desk, watched it, and said, that's brilliant.
I bet they sold it to him by saying, this will be very Guardians-esque. We'll have him put the tape in and press play and everything.
The most offensive part about that is that they're acting like Gangsta's Paradise is some kind of like groundbreaking, earth-shattering rap song.
Which it wasn't.
It never was. Maybe for like a half second when no one had seen Dangerous Minds yet.
I truly thought when that started playing that it was going to be Amish Paradise, which is objectively a better song and more well-known than Gangster's Paradise. When Amish Paradise dropped, I thought it was his first original.
Why in the trailer did so many people have to pick up like the hedgehog quills and like taste them?
Yeah, what
like, that happened
that?
Three different times. They're like, what is this?
You're putting way too much thought into this.
Yes!
We watched the trailer. I have to put some thought into it.
They ripped off Quicksilver, guys!
It's ridiculous.
Why does Jim Carrey look like a rejected Lazy Town villain?
Before he gets the big origin story, man.
Oh, stop it.
Yo, if Sonic the Hedgehog is just a Robotnik origin story.
You don't think it is?
Wait, is
that not what you got from this trailer? This is the Robotnik origin story.
Well, that implies that there's going to be more movies, and I just won't. I won't let that reality settle in. I can't.
We can only
for my
hope.
Own sanity.
Why can't we just get a good video game?
We're going to get Detective Pikachu in a month.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Yes, that's true.
Well, look at what the source material for Sonic is. Right, if you were to write a Sonic movie, what would it even look like?
First of all, I wouldn't. That's number one.
That's a fair point. That said, all this needs is a hedgehog, Robotnik, and some Chaos Emeralds, and you've pretty much hit all the beats.
So if it has Chaos Emeralds,
it's there. Yeah, well, now granted, we've seen no evidence of Chaos Emeralds, so I don't know.
I'm sorry. Sonic in this movie, no.
Guys, I'm calling it right now. This is going to be the Mario Brothers of this generation.
That's very well might be.
That's giving Mario Brothers too much credit.
That movie was amazing.
You got to understand that Robbie is a huge fan of Mario Brothers. That's a huge compliment.
That's giving Mario Brothers too much credit, because Mario Brothers had a beginning, middle, end, and I can follow it narratively.
All I know is Tails or Riot. That's all I know.
That's true. We've seen no evidence of Tails or Knuckles.
Knuckles in the post-credit scene. Calling it now.
I do want to talk about Jim Carrey for a moment, because
with this conversation.
Jim Carrey, the exchange that he has with, what is it, some general
he's
or something?
He's doing an impression of The Rock, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what he's trying. It doesn't matter what your name is.
Yeah.
Like, that was an awkward sequence.
It was not good.
Like,
it wasn't even entertaining.
If you're going to have him play it like Ace Ventura,
yeah,
you need to shoot it and edit it. like Ace Ventura, and they didn't for whatever reason. I don't know
everything about it. I hate everything about it.
I'll straight up say, like, none of that landed, but once whatever happens to him happens and he, like, looks like Robotnik at the end, I was like, actually, if I was going to see a live action Robotnik, that's what he would look like.
I am glad that they at least gave us the one scene of him actually looking like Robotnik.
Because I thought with all the still images that we'd seen, everything, yeah, I just thought that's what his Robotnik character was going to look like. I'm like, interesting. He's got hair and a little mustache. No, he does actually turn into Robotnik.
Does he gain about 500 pounds in weight, though?
Oh. I mean, that's the big question, because he's got to be
Eggman.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope it's like, here's another terrible movie, the Inspector Gadget movie, where he starts off as Skolex and doesn't become the Dr. Claw until he actually loses his hand. He's going to become Dr. Robotnik.
Stop all of this.
This is terrible.
This. I hope Detective
Pikachu... And you're willing to pay $9 to go see this?
I hope Detective Pikachu comes out and just completely slaughters this film.
Oh, it will. It comes out six months later, man.
Don't worry, it will. Listen, we got to leave the discussion right there. Are you at all excited, or are you terrified by the new Sonic the Hedgehog trailer? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, and we'll ask our social media followers what they feel is the most important element of a single player game. And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.